That Powerball was huge. This winter, the Powerball jackpot rose to over $1.5 billion. I was talking to our boys in the house about what this meant, and Ellis, who is three, asked, "Dad, does that mean the Powerball is bigger than a basketball?" I say, "Yes, you can say it that way, Ellis." And I said, "I should have bought a ticket, but I didn't. Last time I played the lottery, it was not Powerball, it was a different game. I was on a jury, and one of the women on the jury told us all, I figured out last night everybody should play the numbers using our case number. And a number of us did, and one guy won $500, and it was fun. And I know that playing the lottery is not always a positive experience. Too many people buy lottery tickets when they don't have enough money for groceries or paying the utility bills. Gambling addictions savage many families and communities. And winning the lottery is a dream that many people buy into. For that biggest Powerball ever, people purchased over 653 million tickets. It was a long shot dream because for each ticket, the odds of winning were 1 in 292 million. Now, for some comparison, let's look at how many people are expected to vote in the caucuses and primaries that are happening in our country right now, selecting nominees for president. We're 15 states in, and by the time every state has had a chance to participate, it's expected that under 40 million people will have voted. So people purchased 653 million Powerball tickets, and fewer than 40 million votes will be cast in the process of selecting a president. That's sad, especially because we're at a time in our nation where we have critical issues that desperately need people to get involved. In our country, too many people struggle like Elizabeth, who's been told by a doctor that she needs her thyroid removed, but she's 6 weeks into a process of bureaucratic runaround. She keeps calling office after office, trying to have somebody assign her to a surgeon to remove her thyroid, and to this date, there is no plan. In our nation, too many public schools have libraries where books are collecting dust and going obsolete because the school does not have the money to hire a staff person to run the library for the children. And too many schools, families have to cross their fingers that if their child gets sick, the child gets sick during the half a day when the nurse is on duty, because if a student gets sick when the halftime nurse is gone, everybody's out of luck. All of this is true at a time when our country spends more money on military than any country in the world. We actually spend more on military than the next 8 highest spending nations combined. With many critical issues at play in the United States of America today, many people feel they have a better chance of making a positive change by buying a Powerball ticket than they do by voting. People feel powerless about fixing broken institutions, finding trustworthy leaders. People feel powerless about alleviating the all too common struggles of loneliness and melancholy. Daniel? I got you. What Daniel always says to me. Today, in our context, embracing bold, meaningful dreams for our communities can seem like a setup for heartbreak. That is why I am preaching about being stewards of a dream. I'm not talking about a what's in it for me approach to life. I'm not talking about my particular dream, and I'm not talking about your particular dream. I'm talking about all of us being stewards of the shared dream that started in this church community over 150 years ago. Let's go back to the early 1860s. Germantown was its own town. The stories of ending slavery and the Revolution were still alive. Underground railroad stations had served courageous people on their dangerous journeys to freedom. American and British soldiers had fought battles on these cobblestone streets, including Germantown Avenue and Schoolhouse Lane. By 1865, many people felt joy and relief about the abolition of slavery and the holding together of the Union. However, their souls surely ached from the racism, blood, death, and loss throughout the country. Partly in response to the overwhelming national context, people in Germantown dreamt about creating a new church community. They envisioned a committed community in which they would strive to live out their highest aspirations. Our foremothers and forefathers named this holy place the Unitarian Society of Germantown. Under the leadership of the First Minister, Reverend W.W. Newell, they needed a space for worship and programs. Downtown in Philadelphia, Reverend William Henry Furness had been preaching on abolitionism since 1839 at the First Unitarian Church, and his son Frank was a budding architect. USG hired Frank Furness to design a gorgeous building on Cheltenham Green, which would provide a sense of integrity and connection with the sacred. So important in my mind to remember. The Furness family had played a part in helping to end the nightmare of slavery in America. And with the new building for USG, the Furness family helped our congregation, along with the nation, begin a new chapter of justice and hope. Critical time, 1865. I have referred to this following story before because it poignantly demonstrates what this church has always stood for. It deserves repeating. Amongst the founding members of USG in 1865 was Emily Winslow Taylor. Her son Frederick eventually became one of the most internationally renowned engineers. He is the most famous member of this church ever, and Tom Schoonmaker can tell you all about that here in the front row. We should talk about him more. But his mother, Mrs. Emily Taylor herself, was an ardent abolitionist. She was a top co-worker with Lucretia Mott, who is one of the most well-known abolitionists in the country, Quaker from Philly. In 1840, the World's Anti-Slavery Convention was held in London. The call for that convention invited delegates from anti-slavery organizations around the globe. Several American societies decided to send women as delegates to represent them in that august assembly. The conveners of the convention, however, were not prepared and in some ways did not welcome women as formal delegates. They were about to meet two A Quaker and a Unitarian gal from the Philly area, Mrs. Mott and Mrs. Taylor, arrived. They settled in amongst the male delegates. They participated fully, and they carried out their mission of working to end the evil of slavery. This was an historic example of the resiliency and tenacity of women of liberal religious sensibilities. Our Emily Taylor was not about to take a back seat on issues that matter. No way. And that, my friends, is a great example of the DNA of this church. We see it lived out all the time. The people of this church will not take a back seat on issues that matter. Our dream, although we live it out imperfectly, has been realized time and time again. When the common good is at stake, we will find a way to make a difference, no matter the cost. We will find a way to make a difference. That is our dream, of which we are stewards. Today, society is changing so fast. How people work is changing. You can't expect to have the same job in the same place forever. Rapidly developing technology is displacing human connection and replacing it with new forms. There's so many ways in which we're shaky and don't know what's happening in the next coming decades. And it's all the more important in today's fast-changing world. We deeply need to help each other dream more boldly. Not be conservative and hold back. We need to dream more boldly because the stakes are higher. Progressive Minister Mark Trotter works on science and ethics. He talks a lot about the need to dream boldly. Listen to his words. We need a purpose that makes life worth living and gives meaning to our dying. We need a purpose that calls forth our true stature and elicits the hidden fire within us. We are called to a life of faith and imagination and courage because we have a purpose that endures beyond sunset. At USG, we have a dream for the 21st century. We have a purpose that endures beyond sunset. We invite you to invest in our dream, to be stewards with body, mind, and spirit, time, talent, and treasure. I believe if you invest in this dream as a steward, you have a great chance of making a positive impact in a way that matters. You have real good odds. Here we're facing the fact that our nation and city suffer too much violence, and we're dreaming about embarking on a new era of peace and restorative justice. We have t-shirts up on Lincoln Drive with names. We are witness to the names of the 285 people who were murdered with illegal handguns in Philadelphia in 2015. And those t-shirts on the drive witness to our commitment to try and change. As a theological statement, we have Black Lives Matter on the front of the church. Many of us are wearing wristbands 24/7 that say the same thing. It's a theological statement reminding ourselves and others because too many people and systems have forgotten and abused. We're in a dynamic coalition against mass incarceration, focusing on advocacy, but also working to create jobs for returning citizens to reintegrate into communities and transform their lives in sustainable ways. People coming out of jail and prison. Last week, Imam Abdul Hasim came with members of his mosque. He preached in this pulpit. We celebrated life together, accompanying one another when we're all feeling too wrecked with Islamophobia and segregation entrenched in our communities. Next month, we will engage again in rebuilding Philadelphia, helping folks who need and deserve a helping hand to make their homes more safe and comfortable. Everybody who participates experiences an increase in quality of life. Here we face the reality that the world's oceans are dying, large numbers of fish are depleting, ice is receding, polar bears are swimming for hours and going insane, dying of starvation and exhaustion. The water levels are rising by many feet, coming decades, wiping out entire communities. It's tough, but the church holds the dream and the purpose that we must go all in. We must. We have no choice. The dream says we have to help reverse the trends of environmental destruction. With our small group ministries and lifespan spiritual development, we're growing our souls, we're learning, we're connecting. Our kids are doing it right now in the chapel. We're making spiritual friendships, we're listening to each other's stories, we're caring for each other. In a world racked with death and sadness, here we live out the dream every Sunday morning of celebrating life and beauty. Every Sunday morning, we celebrate life and beauty, regardless of how tough things are. We do this together because we agree with the philosophy of cellist Vedran Smilovich, who in the midst of horror and destruction of his hometown Sarajevo decided to take out his cello every day at 4 p.m. to give a concert amidst bombed-out ruins, knowing that another bomb could come any time. Mr. Smilovich said, "I do this because I worry. I'm afraid. Aren't you? It's not enough to pray to whatever God for a better future. It's necessary that we take urgent action to return ourselves to the beauty of life without fear. We do this like Mark and Millie and the choir and the beauty of this sanctuary every Sunday morning, to return ourselves to the beauty of life without fear, because we probably can't do it as well on our own in solitary confinement." For over six generations, the people of USG have been stewards of the dream of returning ourselves to the beauty of life without fear. For over six generations, the people of this place have been stewards of the dream which elicits the fire within each and every person. For six generations, the people of USG have been stewards of the dream that endures beyond sunset. Our founders and those who came before us led people to dream bigger dreams than they would have otherwise on their own. Being a steward of the dream is thinking of yourself already as an ancestor, a leaver of legacies for descendants whom you will never meet, but whose lives are already entwined with yours. I invite you to open your heart, open your heart, open your heart, and let us ask together with care and compassion, what kind of stewards are we? What kind of steward are you? Blessings of peace and love to to you all. I love this church so much. Amen.